Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV Podcast 426's After
Show.
Maybe that'll be my catchphrase.
We are in the After Show.
He sunk that putt like the After Show.
Nonstop.
Constantly. How many times can I plug Smashbox?
I was just going to say, make sure when you're doing commentary this weekend that whatever it is, it's borderline either offensive and or just people hate it. Absolutely hate it.
Give me some tips, Terry. Like, what should I say that's offensive? I'm going to step out of frame now. Hold on.
I'll think of some for you.
Okay.
I'll text them to you, and whatever I text you, you must read on air. It'll be like Impractical Jokers.
Okay. Yes. That's a good way to do it. That would be fantastic.
Welcome back, everyone. Here we are in the After Show. If you're new here, I'm sorry. I'd run right away. Turn it off. But if you've been here before, you probably know. In the After Show, we go off script. We never have any script.
We used to have a script.
We did have somewhat of a show layout, show notes
back in the day.
We abandoned those like 300 episodes ago.
Yes, I think we made it to somewhere mid-100s where I had a spreadsheet every day. Every Tuesday I would fill in like, hey, what should we talk about? And we're going to have Dana on. And, you know, and at some point when it would just became the same thing, like you and me open the show, Dana comes on, then we have a guest, and then we talk golf, whatever. I felt it was like, I don't need the show notes anymore.
Yeah, now we just ramble for hours on end with no segments. We pretty much do it just like they do over there on
every other
the Nick and Matt show.
Yeah.
Just kidding. When I was in studio guest on their show, it didn't make me uncomfortable. It was crazy, though. Like, almost down to the minute, which I'm not ripping on, clearly. I
respect that.
And very much respect it. But it was so different. Like, hey, we're going to talk about this for 10 minutes. And then we're going to talk about this for 6 minutes. Or we're going to talk about this for 15 minutes. And then we pretty much get out of it. And
that sounds stifling. I mean, I want to.
You can't hold me back, man.
Dude, if I want to talk for 8 minutes about
PDGA numbers and
about why they chose Kentucky bluegrass on the course instead of fescue, I will do that, Nick and Matt.
Yes. Well, there's a reason somehow these drift into 3 and 4 hours long.
You can't stop
me. So if you're new here, like we said, After Show can be about anything. Oftentimes, you guys really help drive the show, in that we take a look at what's coming in either on Facebook and or on YouTube. If you got questions, well, we've got BS to feed you. So Aaron Kirsch thinks balls deep is the...
That's the catchphrase?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. For MPO or FPO? Like, would it be better for FPO?
You be the judge.
Okay.
Surprise us.
I don't think that's going to fly. Sorry. We'll work on something else.
All right.
I might get fired before I get hired. Just saying, if we keep this up.
Yeah, that's a good call. You said you were going to say what? And then they open the show. You open the show and they just cut your mic. And that's it.
Hi, I'm John.
That's it. All right. Trevor says, boom goes the dynamite. Feels like 20 years ago. And to think it was really eight.
It was just
almost eight.
Yeah.
Coming up on 8 years ago, or a little less then. Now you just rely on YouTube chat to give you all the material. That's not entirely inaccurate.
Well, we want to make sure if there's a subject you want to talk about that we address it. I mean, part of it is us being lazy. Part of it is us, you know, really pandering to our community.
That's what we do. Dan Harbeck, who I had a great conversation with the other day, was so kind. He says, I have to say I'm a little disappointed. That scrolled up on me. At the lack of support for the show.
Oh, I was going to say that they didn't call him for commentary.
That would have been a good idea. Dan Harbeck, we appreciate your smashiness. Thank you. And it is very, very appropriate to make mention as well that Dan Harbeck and his company have stepped up to graciously support and largely support the cold turkey that registration, which just opened tonight. What a quinky dink. So thank you, Dan. We very much appreciate it. Looking to give out some pizza. Everybody loves pizza in the middle of winter.
I do like
early
pizza.
Goings of winter. All right. Let's see what else we got on here. I'm going to keep reading down some of this. Would you consider changing your podcast name to Smash Slab?
I think Tim had coined it Step Inside the Slab Box.
Yep. Okay. I like those. Spock says, how about them Chicago Bears? All I'm going to say.
They beat the Patriots. Good for them.
Is that right now I can only name the record of one NFL team. And I think I've seen one out of seven games from the Packers. They're 3-4.
They're 3-4. They're looking very bad.
I don't
bad.
Think it's good. I'm not
it's almost
fanatic.
It's almost 500. So, I mean, really.
But, yeah, that's literally, I've paid. Normally, I pay very little attention to the NFL until, like, playoffs, only because things are crazy. Yeah. More so. Let me rephrase that. I don't pay much attention because if there's anything else going on a Sunday that has any other form of work/priority, I give it that. That's all. Anyway, so the Packers, I believe, aren't doing well. That's the only thing I know on the year. I don't believe I get to still ask this. With the Packers being 3-4, is that a better or worse record than the Bears?
It might be the same record as the Bears.
So now I gotta look. You know, of the whole Bears Packers rivalries here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears are 3-4.
Yeah, I thought it was the same.
Along with the New England Patriots.
Very big football fan over here in the New England.
The Packers are having one of their worst seasons in a long time.
They're only just
still tied with the Bears.
I mean,
not having necessarily one of their worst seasons in a long time.
The Lions are looking a little bit better than they have in the past.
Do they have a win this year?
Lions, yeah, they do.
Oh.
Yeah,
they're really coming up.
They're actually not a bad team. I mean, they are kind of still a bad team, but they're not the worst team. Vikings are a solid team. Packers are 3-4. Aaron Rodgers looks disinterested. We don't really have a solid wide receiver core.
And one of our receiver guys, catcher guys,
Alan Lazard, he's got some sort of shoulder injury. So
I did see that,
and he was kind of our most. He was supposed to be our quote-unquote number one, which honestly, he's not even a number one. He's probably more of like a number two on any other team. But yeah, so instead we've got a bunch of guys who really don't know the playbook. Well, I mean, I'm sure they know the playbook, but they're not experienced.
So
it's tough. I mean,
he doesn't still like just go to Sharp or Jordy Nelson?
No, he can't throw to Jordy anymore or James Jones.
Or Sterling Sharp.
Well, I don't know if he ever could throw to Sterling Sharp. That was more of a Favre thing and a Don Majkowski thing.
Yeah, the magic man.
But yes.
All right.
And so the Packers defense is mediocre. I mean, they're supposed to be good, but they show signs of life, but in general, they don't seem to be able to hold anybody. It's just, it's a sad, sad day. Like, yeah, as Jay Tyra says, Brady and Rodgers are both, they're both looking bad this year. It's like suddenly,
it's like they're old.
The old quarterbacks last year he was an MVP. This year, PVM, backwards. I don't know.
It's that girlfriend.
Or lack of? I don't know. But it's just, yeah.
You said I was going to make a Reggie White reference, and then you said there's just not a lot of life or something. Then now I feel bad.
Yeah, because he's dead.
Yeah. Jeez. All right, moving on.
Jeez, Terry.
Put the lotion in the basket. I like that. I think
that would be a good one right there.
The lotion,
like,
in the
like you're familiar with the term?
No, I don't. Am I not?
You're not. So that is a that is a saying from the Silence of the Lambs movie.
Okay. Which I saw once.
Yeah, same here. Buffalo Bill Hickok, I believe, was the serial killer's name. Kidnap somebody and put them at the bottom of a pit, and so he would, before he killed them, I'm assuming he lowered things down to them, and I think again it's been a long time since I've seen this, but more or less the phrase is like, put the lotion in the basket, and it's creepy, and it's probably nothing you ever want to say on broadcast, so which means I should probably say it.
I think so.
You know, like, oh, look at that kid, he put the lotion in the basket. Nah, probably not.
I could get behind that one.
Someone says it's also from Joe Dirt. Nah, I mean, it might be, but it came from Silence of the Lambs. So I'm in my 40s, so that's where it comes from.
So I missed the entire thing. Where do I see the big money final round? It's not out yet. And this might be the last time.
Go to GK Pro Skins, look for round one live coverage, and watch that.
GK Pro very much made an announcement many times since Saturday now, just saying we're going to post-produce it, and it's going to be out as soon as they can. It is going to be of significant editing, extra effort and energies, and so as we've kind of already committed here on the show, we're not spoiling some people know the answer. Some people know
it's out there. I think it was posted on our chat at one point.
Yeah, tonight. I mean, it's, if you really want to dig around, it is all out there, but we are not actively blasting it out there because of the nature in which they're trying to actually hold this one back. What would be the ideal location for DGPT to buy land and create their own championship level course? Milwaukee? No.
Somewhere in the southeast.
Or southwest. A place that could have golf year-round. The southeast, the Charlotte area, that general area.
I just feel like
make the most sense population wise, player wise, topography.
Topography is what I'm thinking.
All of those things.
If you go to the southwest, you could probably find a lot of land, but you're not going to get varied land. You're not going to get a lot of elevation.
State of New Mexico.
Still, you're not getting a lot of elevation or trees, probably, if you want to play around.
By the state of New Mexico.
You know, to me, it would make sense for more in the southeast location to buy 40 acres, maybe.
Oh, I bet you it'll be way more than that.
It probably will be, but 40 would be the base of what you would need probably for like a decent championship level course.
Yeah, I mean, think of I don't think this is a big secret, but think, especially because we just talked about
it. And even if it is, we'll say it.
Yeah, but no, as we just talked about with the Hall of Fame committee members a few weeks ago at the press conference for the USDGC, they essentially sounded like they want to take the blueprint that is the IDGC and make a carbon copy. They want multiple courses, and they want a hosting foundation location, headquarters, museum type thing. If you've ever been to the IDGC, the International Disc Golf Center, first of all, it's pretty damn cool. I'll just say that.
It's
outright.
Four courses. It's awesome.
Yeah. Courses, and then they've got the Hall of Fame. They've got a pro shop. I don't think it's a far stretch that any disc golf organization and or company would love to essentially duplicate that floor plan, so to speak, where you've got a business center. Maybe it can be used for some media stuff more than anything here. I mean, I don't know if we need as many offices as maybe some media opportunities. Maybe there's some kind of a museum and or a pro shop, and then at least one championship caliber course, if not two or three. And then maybe or maybe not they focus on less than championship caliber. But I think championship caliber courses are a top concern, because then you always have a place, whether it's the Pro Tour finale, whether a Worlds could come through there, whether another major could get hosted there on occasion. Yeah, I don't think any of that's far-fetched, and I think it's going to be a matter of who's gonna pull it off. It sounds like there's a couple of people that would like to right now.
Oh, certainly. I know we've talked about this before. I believe it was S.A. Holmes that asked, why is there like a 3/4 of a second delay on live? Just the way the nature of live is, because we're hosted out in the cloud, the way that the stream comes into the commentators and then goes back out creates about anywhere from a half second at the best to a second and a half delay in the commentary call times. So, again, that's something that thankfully I'm fully aware of. So you're not going to hopefully hear me cheering or rooting for things to go in or out of bounds when I already know that it, from what you guys have seen, has probably already happened. But yeah, so that is kind of that's the nature of why there's that delay. Just I guess you could
gotta bounce around the internets.
It's physics, man.
That's how I say it. It just bounces around the internets. Daniel asks, did you ever talk about how liked the tie goes to the lower seed at the Tour Championship? What other sports does this does it this way? Ties at the end of regulation, they keep on playing. Wrong.
Can you name another sport with a tie?
I guess it depends on how far we want to extrapolate this. To me, in a slightly larger scenario, is it not? Can't divisional titles be won that way at the end of a football game? In terms of the Packers are 10-6, the Bears are 10-6, but then they look at how the Bears or the Packers did against the Bears, and then that helps provide a seed. And then
the heads up versus divisional versus, you know,
right? Isn't a divisional title decided that way?
I think it could be, yeah.
So again, I know that's not one individual game that ends. I'll say this, a couple quick things I'll say to it, so I don't go on for too long. One, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love that what you did all season long absolutely matters, maybe more here than any other time. Obviously, yeah, it does. Like, there's no better way to put it. You get points throughout the year. That is a matter of consistency. That's a matter of just sheer, you know, purely showing up. You're awarded all those points throughout the year. And you have lots of opportunities and ways to go about getting them. People like Calvin and Chris Dickerson skip tournaments. Well, not Calvin. But I think of, like, they don't go to the Silver Series events. And they don't necessarily even go to all the biggest events. And those are all conscious decisions that then have an outcome of where you get seated. And the fact that it doesn't do it on the final big money, final round of the entire year, that also keeps me completely sold on it. I like that throughout the play-in, the semis, the quarterfinals, all those things, that they go to that tie of the seed. And during the final, just like we saw with Waisaki, you know, Robinson was, what, a 9 or a 16 seed, whatever he was, and Waisaki, obviously, the 1 seed. And then they had the sudden death when it came to it on the final round of the entire year. And then they went to sudden death. All the ones leading before that, I love. And what I'll last say, maybe there's not, and maybe my NFL example is a terrible one. That's fine. You could say it is. I'm guessing there's other sports that probably do really rely on a seed. I think there's a lot of probably other tournaments and playings that maybe go that way. I can't name one off the top of my head because I'm just thinking of it now. But I don't think we also have to be like other sports. And
that's
an easy cop out, but it's so true in disc golf.
It is.
You know, we always have this argument right here on the show. Are we trying to quote unquote follow the yellow brick road of other mainstream sports? Yeah, in some ways we do very much follow and can admire and look up to and follow a path that other mainstream sports maybe have had success with. But in a lot of ways, we're still our own sport, forging our own way in a very early career or an early goings of just being around for 40-some years.
And I understand, like, playoffs immediately equal drama. Would a playoff be more exciting than having someone win due to a seed? Probably.
Sure.
I get it. If you're looking for maximum drama in the early rounds, then yes, that's probably the case. But there is something to be said about going to hole 18, you're tied, and you're the lower seed. You need to score on that player. You need to score on that person. Like,
you're essentially down a stroke.
I mean, that's how it works out. Is it more or less exciting? I think that is all part of what the production crew is trying to transmit to you ultimately. And I mean, it's, you know, it's a horse apiece, honestly, because I'll tell you what, if you get to that final hole, and let's say that is the scenario, the 16 seed is down one stroke to the four seed, or is tied with the four seed, meaning they're basically down a stroke. If whoever's in the booth and the crew and the director and the producer can't show you that drama, that the need for that scoring, that's on the production crew then, because that's no different than going into a playoff hole tied. You know, it's the same thing. You need to score or lose. And I get it. Playoffs are drama. It's exciting. Woo, we're going to extra throws. To me, and granted, I'm a little jaded. I see things from a slightly different perspective because I'm behind the buttons here. But as Terry said, I like that the effort that you've put in all season long not only gets you into the tournament, but also gives you that slight leg up. And this year, I don't believe the seedings mattered at all. As far as who moved on, there was no ties going into the final hole, I don't believe. I don't think anyone got in with a tie and lost due to a lower seed.
Well, I mean,
I think you could argue that as the scenario is, I know I need to score in order to get past somebody and then whatever. But, you know, when it came down to it, nobody, you know, it didn't, I don't say it didn't matter, but it didn't make that final outcome any different, I don't believe. Not this year. I think maybe last year we saw that.
So long and short of it is, I think, you know, there was actually a motto or a tagline that was used, you know, points matter. And that was said 4 or 5 years ago that Steve Dodge had really started. And this is exactly why. And I do think it matters.
Points matter.
Yeah. And I like it. So personally, I'm a fan of it. Now, if they changed it up, would I be starting a protest? No. However, I really do. I think it adds that slight advantage and nuance to the event that makes it that much cooler. And
I've heard a lot of other different scenarios that people say, like, oh, maybe instead of you know, starting out from scratch, you give Ricky and Paul stroke advantages and things like that. I personally don't like that because I feel that not only clearly you're giving the best players advantages and strokes. I feel like it's easier to shoot poorly because this is what they do in golf. It's easier to shoot poorly in golf than I think it is in disc golf. Like, we're a very birdie or die type of environment.
Okay.
And they are not. And I think it's a different mentality. I wouldn't want to see Ricky go up, you know, because how do you determine the number of strokes between first and 16th seed? Is that one stroke per seed?
And that's what I was going to say. Is it points?
Yeah.
Points equals, you know.
Yeah. Does Ricky get 16 strokes on Isaac? And then what's the point of having anyone other than the top four play ever?
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit more difficult, again, because it's in our sport, you know. Look at this course that we played on where 6 and 7 were the best scores. If you even gave someone 2 strokes advantage, that's a huge advantage on this particular course.
Huge.
So that's why, and personally, I don't like the stroke scenario that some people have brought up, that, you know, the FedEx Cup has throughout the season. And there's the other argument I've heard people say, and discussion point is, you know, I think Dust has even talked about this, that or mentioned it. Maybe he doesn't necessarily like the fact that our biggest stars aren't even highlighted until the third day. You know, don't you want your tour championship to bring in all the spectators? Don't you want them to see Macbeth on day one or day two? And I can understand that. I totally understand. But then again, I think you've kind of earned yourself a bye. Do we really need to see them day one? Maybe day two. Is there a possibility, kind of like maybe what we saw in other sports, where you can, you know, it's a little convoluted, but like almost like we saw with skins, that, yeah, you can choose to play the day before, but then, and it can only, it can maybe improve your seed, something kind of like, but I think that almost gets a little bit more confusing.
Yeah.
I'm again, not opposed to it. I don't have enough kick in me to care if the Pro Tour changed it, unless they changed it to something absolutely absurd. I'm kind of like, eh, I really like it the way it is. I really liked it as a win your card and move on when honestly they would spread the seeds out. So like, you know, you'd get a bye, but then you'd have, you know, Drew Gibson as we'll say like the 8 seed or the 9 seed going up against the 16 seed and the 20 seed and the 24 seed or whatever it is. And Drew Gibson then now had to win his card to move on, or, and you get one extra wild card of the best score, because we did see 1 year where one card moved on, and I think like the best score was like a -3 or a -4, and everybody else was shooting 7s and 8s. I understand why they moved away from that. I liked it, but I didn't fight a protest when they changed it. I think this is just another good scenario.
Yeah, I like it. Again, I'm open to ideas, other ideas that could come along, but so far I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, if someone comes up with a better idea, we're here for it. As long as I don't have to do any more work.
Yeah.
Someone asked, Ray, have you had any experience trying the Prize Picks app? They offer daily fantasy disc golf. Yeah, I've played around with it a little bit from just looking at some kind of quote-unquote competition with Skip Ace. Now, Skip Ace doesn't do that type of fantasy stuff. That's more daily pick-ems for real cash. We're more of a fantasy football type style where you have a league. But yeah, I played around early when Prize Picks first came out. Man, their lines were off, and I made some cash. I think I made like $600 or $700 off that site.
I heard you. Did you say you won 30 or 40 bitcoins?
No. Okay. So I made some cash and I pulled it out. That was great. They changed their lines. They changed how they worked for a while. And then, so it wasn't nearly as advantageous. And I put a little bit of money in at the beginning of the season. I put like $100 in, won a little. I lost a lot. I think I still have
bought
like,
that house next door with it.
Bought the house next door with it. I think I've got like $70 sitting in my account right now that I'll probably roll over to next year and maybe just dink around and play every once in a while. I'm going to probably pay a couple players to shave some strokes. And so I win some money. I mean, because that's what's worth it for like the extra $50 I'm going to win.
Yeah.
It makes sense for them.
Okay,
to do that.
I got an extra disc here for you. Just miss that butt.
Yeah.
Makes
you
perfect.
You have to not hit that line.
Yes. all right. I'm trying to see if there was anything else that I think we covered everything that was up there. And somebody else had another good question. Gin, but now I lost it. So
I do want to briefly touch on, and I don't know if you want to touch on this at all, and I'm okay with that. There was a post made by Natalie Ryan's Instagram about how there was a post a couple days ago where she more or less said that she doesn't know what's going to happen next year. And she's obviously pulling for a specific direction as far as trans athletes. And then her most recent post more or less said that she has maybe heard I don't know if it's just that I heard anything or she's assuming that the PDGA is going to announce something or going to talk about something, how maybe trans athletes are not going to be permitted in the FPO field. I personally don't know anything on the inside. I haven't heard anything. I don't think the PDGA is really, they for sure haven't announced anything. So whatever Natalie has heard is either leaked information or it's an assumption on her part, one or the other. And I couldn't say either way. But her most recent post was not very positive on the subject for her perspective. I'll say that.
Yeah. And here we know nothing more, as Johnny just alluded to. We have no other insights or information with regard to any direction, which anything, whether there may or may not be any policy changes that are in the works. If there are, I think another question that largely gets then immediately asked is, even if there is a policy change where, let's just say, transgender athletes in her position aren't allowed to compete in FPO, is that something here in October, end of October, is that something that gets implemented for 2023? And I think that's a very valid question as to when, if something of that nature were to, you know, were to come down from the PDGA, I was going to say, or any other governing body, but the PDGA really in this case is what matters. If that were to be the case, you know, what would the timeline look like for that?
I would make the assumption that any changes that are made would probably go into effect like January 1st. You know, if they made an announcement, we'll say in the next 2 to 3 weeks, any changes would hopefully, because I guess it doesn't, whatever, but would go into effect with a new season or a new year, which is interesting because we have a wraparound season with the Disc Golf Pro Tour that the PDGA doesn't really have much say in as far as that perspective, mm-hmm. as far as the season going. But could you see, and I don't know, a scenario where the PDGA makes a decision and the DGPT doesn't follow suit? Because the PDGA, I'm going to make the assumption that the PDGA is looking at it from a sport perspective for the entire, they have to think about every division. Everything from FA1 to, you know, FPO to whatever. Could you see a scenario where the DGPT says, that's cool for you, but for our top level athletes, FPO, we are going to go a different way. We are going to, if the PDGA says we are going to ban trans athletes, the DGPT says, all right, we are going to allow them into our FPO field. Or could you see an alternate scenario where the PDGA says we are going to allow trans athletes and the DGPT says we have looked at it and feel differently?
I would say at this case, and again, this is nothing more than Johnny and I
speculating, honestly.
But I would say at this case, as I go to DGPT.com, and right there, front and center in the corner as it pulls up, the way it's labeled and the way that clearly the partnership has formed and been established, it says Disc Golf Pro Tour is the official pro tour of the PDGA. And to me, just taking that at face value, mm-hmm. that tells me that they would be adhering to
whatever the PDGA the
policy.
Guidelines.
Now, we all know DGPT has a heightened standards for mm-hmm. its own events, heightened standards when it comes to payouts and certain things. Like, there are things that are separate and usually elevated from a pro tour standards perspective versus any other tour stop.
And I know
hence
Jeff,
the reason of being the pro tour.
Jeff has said in the past that there will come a day that the DGPT maybe enforces slightly different rules than the PDGA. As far as, I don't think necessarily this was what he was talking about, but maybe OB rules, Mando rules, something strange,
disciplinary
rules, things like that, that there could be a day where the DGPT and the PDGA look and treat something differently and separate. So.
Yeah, that's possible too. And I know this, again, in a different partnership at the time, you know, that was a conversation piece that was held with, you know, Bradley Williams and a suspension
Nico.
Or potential suspension and so on and so forth many, many years ago. So now that they're officially, I'll say, married and meshed together so much more closely, I see those being, I don't want to say just extreme circumstances in when they could ever differ, but I think they're... maybe extreme is a good word, or very uncommon or infrequent circumstances. Now, they might or may not be significant, but they're going to be infrequent if they are ever differing.
Sure.
I'll say that much. Excuse me, somebody else, King Heiser, just said on the board, it'll be an XA tier and the ratings wouldn't count, right? That is not necessarily true, and I think that is worth clarifying for some people. Just because an event is an X tier doesn't immediately assume that ratings won't count or be a part of it. Now, there might be a good chance of it, because if they're doing X tier, there might be some experimental or some, I don't call them freaky rules, but there might be something really unique or wildly off and track with standard PDGA play and rules. So there's a likelihood or a chance, but just because something is listed as an XA does not automatically assume that there won't be ratings.
And usually, though, the reason why the ratings aren't included is because it is something score based. I wouldn't see play, you know,
a doubles correct. Is a good scenario where it's they don't apply a ratings from a doubles event to your PDGA ratings. So if it's a,
they should.
I don't think so.
I'm just kidding. They should.
So that's one scenario. That's how I'm going to score immediately at me. Is that to happen? So, anyway,
this particular year, we'll say I think when an announcement is made one way or the other this year, you don't see the DGPT straying from what the PDGA decides one way or the other.
I don't believe that would be the case. And that's nothing more than just my guess.
I'll say, I agree with you. I don't foresee that happening for better or worse. I think we all have our own personal stances on it, but I don't see the DGPT straying from what the PDGA decides, regard whatever that would be.
And Spock adds in there that where incomplete rounds can happen, like match play. Is that a good example? Yeah, yeah, there's exactly another great example of where that's going to be an XA, but clearly rounds, match play. And I'd be curious, and I didn't get around to it yet, is Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship, absolutely, in my opinion, should not
be included,
count towards your ratings. You're doing things on some of those holes in some of those scenarios based on seeding and otherwise. Mm-hmm. I do not. Now, because it's so much more of a match play slash skins mentality on some of those holes, in my opinion, none of those ratings should count.
Yeah, because if you're down by 2 to 3 strokes with 2 to 3 to go, you will be purposefully pushing and pressing the sport and your shots in order to get to catch somebody where you normally wouldn't do that, maybe other than a final round event. I guess if you think about it, how different is that than round 4 for an event where someone is down 2 strokes and they want to win and they're going to do something, we'll say, dumb to get there? I could understand the argument. Of course, obviously, this is a different style, but I guess I could see if someone were to say, yeah, look at Macbeth on 4th rounds. That guy will do some not ideal throws and situations in order to try to catch.
Yeah, but you might have to do that on your final hole of your first round. And that, to me, isn't necessarily fair.
I agree.
You know, so anyway, it's listed to count toward PDGA points and money, but I don't believe the Pro Tour Championship. I don't believe it should. I'd be surprised if it did count, but I don't believe that it should.
I don't think
it should
either. Not
that anybody's taking my vote. GBO had an XC tier 9-hole course where you played 2 shots individually and separately off the tee, and to hole completion to get an 18-hole score and the ratings counted, which I don't disagree with that.
We played that, didn't we?
No. I don't think we did.
Wasn't that the one that I won, literally? Is that where you threw 2 shots and played from 2?
Oh, that might have been the format for that one.
I think that's the one I literally won.
Or did we? That might have
been. At Hammond, was that a little, that short one, was that at Hammond?
No, was at the Flint Hills Technical College.
Yeah.
That might have been okay. Yeah. So anyway, I don't necessarily disagree with that being the case either. That one worked as well. I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, what I was going to say. Speaking of clarifications. Ryan says I'm just giving examples of X tiers that had ratings count. Mm-hmm. They did.
And X tier does not automatically mean ratings don't count.
So this kind of goes hand in hand to some degree with, as he just pointed out, a flex start. 2 points here. One, there was a flex start this weekend that I had competed in.
Oh, you did play in that? I wasn't sure if you ended up going into that. Truly, I didn't know you talked about it, but I wasn't sure. We didn't. No,
I ended up going. Okay. And then that prompted what became my I guess technically my first ever new segment that I offered up that I will. Again, very sparsely or sparingly, intermittently, I'll throw out some words that I don't know the meanings of. Occasionally come to you guys. I actually did have something of this nature literally 10 years ago. I think I called them mini vlogs at the time. Now they're not going to be so much. They're going to be, well, they're still going to be shorter in nature, but thank you to anyone that's tuned in. I know some of you that are here certainly were there. Every once in a while, I keep using Philip DeFranco, maybe because he does something of this nature, but not really, because he's actually well-researched and doesn't do it live. And he's got literally a team. Like, he's like a news show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be that fancy, but every once in a while...
No one expects you to be.
Exactly. I kept the expectations low. Whenever I have what I feel like is either mildly insightful, interesting, quirky, newsworthy, just know that they might pop up more on my YouTube feed. And one of the promises, one of the core components to this is I want to keep them relatively short. I know. We all laugh. I want to keep it short. And part of that might be, depending on the subject matter, like the only reason I was mildly successful the first time I did this the other night, I didn't look at the comments. Like we said, comments help kind of fuel or
drive the conversation.
And it can get great. The problem is I can also sit and talk to you for 5 hours over and over and over again. And I want to keep these very short. And that was my conversation the other night. And I don't want to fully regurgitate it by any means. You can go listen to it.
I won't.
If you want. But it was a conversation on flex starts and various rules that can come about from flex starts, the pros and the cons to flex starts.
I love flex starts personally.
I think they're great for a lot of reasons. I think they also have some drawbacks. Mm-hmm. Often integrity, I think, comes to mind as one of the big challenges.
I think it's perfect for a C tier. A C tier is a great, I would not want a B tier flex start. But.
And I think there's a lot of pros and cons to it. So I guess my point is to, this is a long-winded plug for you guys. As of right now, I'm still working on names, but it's unofficially known as the Drop Zone.
I like the Drop Zone. I do. I truly do like it.
I feel like it carries such a negative connotation, but at the same time, like, and I don't want to go all...
I don't think it does.
Bill O'Reilly, you know, the no spin zone either, even though there is some funny connotations
no
to that.
No spin zone, yeah.
You know, within disc golf, no spin zone. But I think of drop zone as it's a negative thing. There's never a good reason to be at the drop zone. You either missed a mando, or you went out of bounds, or you broke some kind of rule, or
I agree.
Something negative happened.
But it's just an area. I mean,
at any rate,
it's a term.
I appreciate you guys. I am with that. Also, I will always be taking suggestions. If there's something, even just like this, regarding ratings, and it's something we could talk about, or I could explain or provide some insight to, I am more than happy to do so.
All right. On to a different subject. About me again. Did you see my Twitter post today?
Yes. You...
I had a dream last night, Terry. And not like a Martin Luther King dream.
Well, it's you and Hot Dogs and Brody Smith. And I don't think I don't know if Smashbox After Dark can handle any more than that.
I literally last night had a dream. I woke up and it was the strangest thing. I had a dream I was playing disc golf, which I just did this past weekend, in a grocery store, like a supermarket. And I was with Ricky and Brody. And we were...
Were you at like a Hy-Vee or an Anderson?
I don't know.
A save?
I was inside. Safeway? It's more like a pick and save.
Pick and save. That's a Midwestern. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And we were playing, keeping score. And when I had to keep score, I pulled out a package of hot dogs and a pen. And I wrote my score and the hole on a hot dog. So like a single hot dog, I wrote like the number 9 for hole 9 and then whatever score was on a hot dog. So each individual hot dog had a score on it.
Which is weird because there's only 8 hot dogs usually in a... No, listen, there's 10.
There's 10 hot dogs.
Oh, you're safe
eight buns.
Right.
And this is something that I didn't put into the Twitter post. So I was playing with Brody, and in my dream, I took the hot dogs out of my bag to score, and I was scoring with a pen, because you can't write on a hot dog with a pencil.
No, because that
clearly
would be crazy.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
I took the pen, and I took the cap off with my mouth, my teeth, like...
Blue or black pen?
I don't recall offhand.
Oh, okay.
But of all the things that like made Brody uncomfortable, when it was when I tried to hand him the pen after like the lid, the cap had been in my mouth. Like of all the weird things, he looked at me and was like, really, bro?
Never mind scoring on a
hot dog. Never mind, whatever. And also in the dream, we all had a conversation there. Apparently we were at a backup of some sort. We had a
backup on aisle seven.
Backup in aisle seven, folks. Uh-huh. We had a conversation in my dream that you should be allowed to practice putt during backups.
Well, yeah, in the freezer section.
No, you do that in the deli. You always do that in the deli, Terry. So in my dream, there was a conversation of like, well, should it be after a certain amount of time that you're at a backup? Like, hey, if you're at a backup for more than 10 minutes, then you're allowed to putt. Like, this was all in my dream as I'm sitting around somewhere in the grocery store with Ricky and Brody and a package of hot dogs with scores on them. So what can you tell me, Terry? Should we be able to practice putt with hot dogs?
Freud. Sigmund Freud once said. It does pose a lot of questions. And then I think, yeah, I mean, you're talking hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs. I love hot dogs, by the way.
Yeah, which is a dream of its own. I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there, clearly.
I'm going to have to see a psychiatrist, Brody, probably.
And Ricky. And then what I think, without segueing too much yet, Eagle McMahon announcing tonight that, you know, he's got a longer form video talking about why he's no longer vegan.
So he can eat hot dogs and keep score on them.
I know. I'm just, that's where I kind of was like maybe trying to tie this together. That's a good question.
I don't know. So I wonder.
So you do you, portable baskets? Do you remember?
Not at all.
Were you shooting well? Do you remember?
No,
how you scored on the first hole?
Not at all. I just remember pulling out. Literally, we were playing, pulling out a package of hot dogs.
Like, and you had those packed, or they were in your bag, or
like it was
you
like
pulled them like off of like
I pulled them out of my bag, like okay. Like you had a scorecard.
Because they wouldn't be still fresh in the meat section.
No,
you already had them in.
Them in my bag because we were keeping score. We were keeping score on them, Terry. And then with a pen, wrote the number nine. I specifically remember the ninth hole or nine. Mm-hmm. Wrote the number nine on the top of the hot dog, and then whatever the score was on towards the bottom of the hot dog. And all I kept thinking, and I woke up thinking like, can you write on a hot dog with a pen? Like I would think you could. The ink onto whatever
slimy
casing.
Though, but yeah.
I didn't try yet, but I'll let you know the answer.
Have you reached out to Johnsonville about this? Because I
haven't. I mean, there's a tie-in. There is definitely a tie-in.
There definitely needs to be a sponsor plug in here somewhere.
I haven't eaten hot dogs in a long time. It's probably been
a week.
No, God, longer than that. It's probably been 2 to 3 months since I've had any hot dogs.
But to be fair, your hot dog consumption in a year, on a typical year, in years past, is somewhere times 50 to 100 times my hot dog consumption.
Probably not that much.
Because I have
how many
one
hot
to
dogs?
Two a year. That might be on the high side.
Do you count
brats?
No. I hate brats. You know that.
That's gross.
You know that. I don't like brats. We won't get into that. Do you count hot dogs at baseball games?
Yes.
Okay. Then if I go to a baseball game, I will always have two hot dogs.
Okay.
Because they're,
so that's one to two more than me per year.
And I go to probably 2 to 3 baseball games a year if I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. And I would say other than that, at the house, we have hot dogs occasionally, not often. I would say maybe 4 to 5 outside of baseball games, maybe 4 to 5 hot dogs a year.
Maybe it seems a little low for your hot dog.
No, we don't. Honestly, my wife does not buy hot dogs very often.
You were a much greater connoisseur.
Correct. When we traveled more, hot dogs were very easy to eat. They were easy to keep. When we, way back in the day, they're a very cheap product to buy. So
and make.
It was very quick. So I definitely ate a lot of hot dogs when I was younger, but now, since I have someone that loves me dearly, she does not get hot dogs nearly as much.
I would venture to guess I've had roughly 5 hot dogs in the last 5 years.
In the last 5 years?
Yeah. I don't.
Oh, then I've definitely got you by 10.
I don't care for them and I don't eat them all.
I've got you by at least, 10 to, you know, okay. You know, 10. Oh, God, more than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
20 times that.
No,
I bet you, again, in a year, I would say I probably eat about a a package of hot dogs, maybe 10 hot dogs in a year. Because if I do sit down
that's
and have
low a, compared to what pace you were on.
Oh, I'm sure when I was younger. Yeah. Because when I do sit down and have hot dogs, it's like, oh, there's nothing to eat. I want to make something quick. You pull out the package of hot dogs. You pull out 3 hot dogs. Mm. You cook them up. Throw them on some bread with some cheese and some ketchup. And you have yourself a lunch. A three hot dog lunch.
Yeah.
And if I'm at a baseball game, they have the best hot dogs at baseball games. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll have a hot dog at a baseball game. But other than that, I don't eat a lot of hot dogs. I do miss the times when I would make the Kraft mac and cheese, cut up hot dogs and put them in there. Yeah. I do miss that. I haven't done that in years. But
I had that when I was like 8. That might have been
it's still good. I had that a couple of years ago. I'm sure we had that.
All right. So we're talking hot dogs.
We're talking Johnsonville. Johnsonville, if you want to sponsor the podcast, we're here for you right up the road.
I'll eat some sausages. Johnny eats the hot dogs.
I'll take the Johnsonville hot dogs.
I'll take some. Speaking of sponsors, nobody ruined this for me. You could probably actually help me out in one way or another.
No one can help you.
I've made a little headway with my friends over at Founders. We've had some conversations, slid into the DMs, and I'd like to develop that relationship, Founders. So if you're listening, which you're not, but if you were, just know I'm ready. I'm ready to take that next step with you. So we'll see if we can make that happen. All right.
Nasser on the board is talking about bologna. I haven't had bologna in a long time. Like a long time, probably years and years. The other thing I haven't had that I was thinking about the other day is since last time we regularly traveled, it's the ham and cheese loaf.
I think I'm still over ever on that. That was a specialty of yours.
More or less like bologna with processed cheese injected into it. And that is a tasty, tasty treat.
Yes.
But I don't think I've eaten that since we used to travel and buy whatever lunch we would have. So it's got to be 7-8 years since we've done that. But I haven't had ham and cheese loaf in a while.
Man, you're really getting me all.
And I know there's other people talking about on the board. We're all talking about meat, different processed meat products. As you said, Eagle announced that he was not a practicing vegan currently. Do you know any more info?
No, I really don't. I mean, there was either hints and or just a flat out announcement of it a few months ago. We kind of abruptly saw the vegan jerky come to a very quick close over there at Double G's Jerky. But before we went live tonight, I noticed that he made a post and he just said within that post, hey guys, I made a slightly longer form video about me and not being vegan anymore. And I feel great. And I'm sure he provides a lot of great insight. A lot of people are probably more concerned about it than they even need to be, but that's fine. It's out there. If you have questions, I did not watch it, so I cannot answer any of those questions.
I haven't not had a chance to watch it yet.
And depending on the length, I will click on it. And depending on what the length is, will then determine if I bother watching it or not, because those are his own eating decisions. And I can't say I'm not too concerned, but I'm not too concerned.
And
if he wants to be vegan, great. If he doesn't, great. I am not about to.
You and I have zero.
Yeah, we have zero leg to stand
on.
We're not exactly nutritional this year.
I'm talking about the hot dogs and ham and cheese loaf.
Pleading out to my friends at Founders for some double barrel aged Scotch ales.
But here is my question for you, Terry. Let's play pretend you decided to go vegan for 2 years. After that, what is the very first meat product
that's a dumb question for me. It's chicken.
Just you're going to cook up a chicken breast?
Yeah.
Just chicken a flat, breast. Plain chicken breast.
Yeah, that would be good enough for me. I've also gone on record in saying I could eat boneless, skinless chicken breasts prepared in almost the worst possible ways even. I could eat that, I feel like, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty I'm a basic bitch when it comes to that. So it does not take much to satisfy.
Literally
me.
Just the chicken breast.
If that's all that was there, I would not complain about it.
Well, how do you normally cook your chicken breast?
I would love it seasoned, put various seasonings on it, paprika, or any kind of Italian seasonings possibly, or not. I do not care. It sounds so silly. I don't care. I will just take boneless, skinless chicken breasts. It's not quite unhealthy how much I enjoyed or would love to eat it, but if that's all you said, if somebody gave you that thing and said, hey, you can only have one thing the rest of your life, that would instantly be my answer.
Okay, but is that like your favorite meat? Like if I told you, oh, it is? Like,
yeah, I don't want a steak.
No, I know you're not a steak person.
Veal or nothing.
Like a chicken. Parmesan.
Me and Chris Dickerson chicken.
All right.
We're chicken brothers at heart.
Okay. All right. That's
what would you eat? Would you eat a steak?
Probably some steak. If I had my choice of anything and I was just like, okay, I'm going to go right from nothing to like the very best thing I can have, I would probably go to like the 5 o'clock steakhouse here in Milwaukee, which I think has the best steak in the city. And have a very, very delicious. I don't know if I go with the, I don't know, I think I have a ribeye. I like the tenderloin steak, but the filet, probably go with the filet. I'd probably take the filet. It's delicious.
Okay. I would take mediocre chicken before I'd take a great steak.
My wife is the same way. She's not a steak person in general. She'll eat it occasionally if I cook it. But she would much rather have seafood or chicken before she would have steak. But
tastes like chicken, she says.
It's not what she says.
Okay.
Have you ever spent more than $150 on a steak? No, I have not. I think the most I've ever spent on a steak is like seven in a restaurant, $70 or $80. I think I'd have to look. Now, granted, that's me personally. I've gone to some. When we're on work trips, as by the way, next Tuesday, probably no Johnny. It'll be a Terry solo
show. Heck yeah. Yes, I love it.
So I'm not even going to be here to talk about the commentary that I'm going to do.
Oh, God, I will talk about it plenty.
Oh, I know. Because I will probably be flying back from Florida. So anyway, when we go on a travel trip for work, my 9 to 5, we go to some very nice restaurants and I have carte blanche to whatever I want to order.
Baller.
And it doesn't really matter because it's all in the work. I've eaten some very, very expensive, nice food at these places.
That's wrong with capitalism.
I'm okay with that.
Everything.
You know, I have eaten some fantastic, expensive steaks, but I don't believe I've ever ordered a single meal that's been over $100. I don't think so. Not like an individual entree. Definitely had entire meals. They're just me. I've had over $100. But
speaking of health and fitness, tomorrow I'm heading over to the Wisconsin Dells, which is about 2 hours, hour and a half or so, or 2 hours from me.
A little late for water slides, Tara, but I'm here for you.
If I can fit in one, I'll go. No, the Wisconsin Association for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance, WAPRD, as it's called, or AFRD, is the annual physical education show for teachers. So maybe you're a parent and your kids have a couple days off during the year because they have conferences or whatever. Well, this is where the Phi Ed teachers go, all the gym teachers go. Not all of them. I feel like the ones that care is really honestly the best way to put it.
Okay.
Because plenty of teachers, and I'm kind of, but not kind of calling out teachers, like you have these days off so that you go to these like continuing education. Professional development, exactly. And there's plenty of teachers who are just like, yeah, F that. I'm going to take 2 days off. That's fine too, if that's what you really need. But the gym teachers, the Phi Ed instructional teachers and such that seem to be really, really impassioned about physical education in schools, those are the ones that will be at this show. They have various training sessions. It's all day long. Also, as part of this, they will go through the exhibitor hall, of which me, myself, and I will be set up and hosting a disc golf booth. I've been doing this for 20 years. I think we talked about it maybe even just as recently as last week about going to trade shows. I enjoy going to the park and rec show every year. That gets more courses in the ground, but then going to the Phi-Ed show every year obviously introduces it to the teachers and gets teachers, you know, courses or information. Oftentimes, I'm then sending them to an Edge or I'm sending them to a Uplay, those types of curriculum and other people. So really excited to be doing that over the next couple of days. It's one of my favorite to go to. I enjoy the Park and Rec show a little bit more. But I guess there's going to be a social.
There usually is,
and a little gathering tomorrow night. So I'm gonna do my best to, you know, just be a team player, be part of, be part of the social activities, and I get to see one of my favorite friends, Dazzling Dave,
the
yo-yo master. He'll be there as well. So looking forward to that. But next week, good, you're gone. I like it.
I am gone. I will be in Claremont, Florida, which is just outside of Orlando.
Oh, yeah. There's a course there.
There is a course there.
I've been there, done that. Trailblazers.
I fly out Monday morning. Like the company I work for is doing a small acquisition. And we are, so my job will be to take two employees, lift them out of one Claremont location, which we purchased. We didn't purchase the location, but we purchased the equipment and the people. We buy people and put them into our location with all of our other Claremont people. And I fly out Tuesday night. I think I fly out at like 7:30. So I will not be, I mean, maybe I could check in Atlanta with my layover, but no, ultimately
we'd like it if you didn't,
but you know what I did do? It was
something dumb.
No. Well, maybe we'll see. The rental car. I got myself a Tesla. It was like only an extra $15 a day.
Then it's a no-brainer.
Why not?
Like, yep.
Why not, my friend? And I've never driven one before. I've wanted to buy one for 10 years now. I've wanted to have one, but I can't justify the cost on it. But yeah, I think see how that thing flies.
That's why I'm a Rivian man, even with the recalls.
I mean, they got the recall. You can't. Clearly, it's inferior product, my friend.
Obviously.
No, just I don't know if they're running some sort of special at the for Hertz rental car or not, but
yeah, I think they are because I've heard of that.
Yeah, and so it was like I could get basically an SUV for the same price as, which is normally what I rent because I have to haul equipment back and forth. So usually I'll get like a small, you know, crossover vehicle or something, but I figured, you know what? It's the same price as the Tesla. I'm going to go with the Tesla and can put all the equipment I need to travel. Claremont's a very small city, so I won't be traveling more than a few miles back and forth between these two offices. Put everything in the frunk, as they call it, and travel back and forth. So that's the plan, and I'm sticking to it. And then I fly back Tuesday.
Real quick note as well then, Disc Golf Pro Tour, of course, has their end of the season awards. Lots of people, lots of opinions, and I don't know how wild they're going to get, but they have announced the criteria and the voting, which just ended last night, so I'm expecting to see some kind of a release or update here soon. But Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved. The first card, all stars, are determined by point standings, and then the second and third cards were determined by overall vote. So that took place over the last week. I did get a vote,
and I voted.
I voted.
I voted almost immediately when it was sent to me. I think within the first 20 minutes it was sent, I looked at everything, and I voted. So
just so you know, those are all out there. We're all taken, and I'm assuming by this time next week we'll probably have the results. Also, I think starting out on maybe Monday on Halloween, it will be the first ever of the 6-part docuseries of On Tour, and I believe that's going to be dropping on Disc Golf Network, so I wanted to make sure.
They released a very short trailer for it today or yesterday on social medias. I believe that the first episode is going to focus around, actually the trailer they released didn't focus on the first episode, but it talked about Simon and a Double G's event. But the first episode, I believe, is going to focus on Drew and Gannon. So
which would make sense. Sure.
So yeah. So I'm assuming what you're going to see is kind of for the next 6 episodes, you're going to probably relive the tour season a little bit more behind the scenes of what happens. And it's going to start with Las Vegas.
Yeah, and looking forward to it. Spock says, do you think Big Money Skin situation will scare anyone off from pay-per-view events that aren't established tournaments for a while? It might. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why you could be scared off. It's not part of the, you know, DGN in general, so that may or may not raise some red flags for some people. They might enjoy that. They might not. A price point could always scare off someone, $14.95. I'm sure, you know, if it was $5.95, would they have made up, you know,
no.
Two-thirds of the people that were, who knows, probably no. Not. The location, the event, there's so many things that could factor into it. Will it scare off people in the future? I guess it depends on who remembers and who thinks about it. And how many more are we going to see of them? That's another big question. And who's putting on the production? You know, I think there's a lot of viable well, maybe not. There's a handful of viable people that you would trust to go then possibly get on board with a pay-per-view model. And I think there's probably either another number of companies or people you don't even know that if they put it on, you'd be far more reluctant to. So I don't know if it'll scare off any more. But it will at least momentarily for those that really got worked up about it. It will leave a bad taste in your mouth.
It will. It'll be a slight. Fair. It'll be a slight stain on pay per view in general. But I do think that, you know, let's play pretend next year someone comes out with a pay per view. I think as consumers, what you need to do is look at who's behind the scenes. You know, is it someone established that is in the disc golf community? And if it's not, I'm not saying that it's not the right move, but can you look at some of the previous things that this other company has done?
Sure.
You know, if there are plenty of live broadcasting companies that I talk with, owners, technologists, things of that nature, that I would trust running a disc golf live broadcast because I'm part of that community. But like, I had never heard of Mason Productions. I think their website is mason.agency or something like mm-hmm. that. And they had, from what I could tell, and I couldn't see any examples, not to say they haven't done live sports, not to say they haven't done whatever the things, but I did not see any examples of things that they had done in the past. And that is a slight, I will say, from now on, it will be a slight red flag. I want to be able to see some sort of example of maybe previous history of work. So, and again, not to say that it couldn't happen, but I do believe that this will leave a slight stain on pay-per-view in the short term until somebody does it right. We've seen USDGC did pay-per-view, and you might not have liked it, but it worked out great for live.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's one of those things that just you have to, we'll have to cross that bridge.
Okay. And Ray says, why wasn't their fancy Wi-Fi mesh network able to broadcast a clear signal? It was worse than DGN has ever been. I think there was, few lapses in just flat out execution more than anything.
There's that. And I honestly, as we heard over and over, 400 acres is what that place is. That's not what the disc golf course is, but that's what the entire land is. Creating a mesh network of even the size to cover that course is quite an ordeal. And my guess is that even on a mesh network, unless you're within probably 20 to 25 feet of that particular access point, it's not going to be great because Wi-Fi just is not reliable. I mean, look at it this way. If you do a Zoom call and you're on Wi-Fi on your computer, which is in your house, maybe 20 feet from your router through a wall, and you have some issues with the glitches, imagine what you're doing when you're trying to stream a sports broadcast from there. I don't believe that the mesh network at Eagles Crossing, and I don't know anything about it, but I will go out on a limb and say that the mesh network there is not of a quality that will ever do a live broadcast from the mesh network. Not that a live broadcast can't happen from Eagles Crossing, but not basing it off the mesh network. I just think knowing Wi-Fi and knowing what I know about internet technology, it's my job. I don't believe that a mesh network like that is probably available out there to what the extent of what they think it is. And again, that was just one small portion. They were going to hardwire. They were going to do all sorts of other things. But, I mean, again, a standard Wi-Fi, home Wi-Fi, is about as good as about 300 feet in the wide open. We're talking not even your house walls, not your anything. If you put it in the middle of a field, you can probably get close about 300 feet away and still have signal. And again, that's going to be spotty signal, and that's in a field. You put it in some woods, you put it in a house or a room. Everything you put in the way blocks a little bit of signal. So I would never, ever personally rely on the mesh network. It could be a very good backup. You know, if you happen to be on a cellular network like DGN does and you're close enough to the router, it hops you on the Wi-Fi, and that's going to be, and that will work out. It'll help reduce data costs. It'll help maybe improve the signal a little bit, but I don't know. Just as a person who does broadcasting, I would never rely on that. So, and it's going to be great for scoring, because if you're on your U disk and you want to score and you're going to get some Wi-Fi, you need very little Wi-Fi for that. That's packets. That's text. That's not hardly anything. Video transmission is a whole nother beast.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we use video, don't we?
We do. Okay. We do some video. I mean, it doesn't always look like it. Sometimes it doesn't look like video, but we are. We're always broadcasting video.
Yeah, we are. Also, last but not least, even though I said it on IG as we started the night, pretty cool day in the being the 25th. Nate and Valerie celebrating their 8th wedding anniversary. Congratulations
them,
to the Dosses. And
congratulations to Corey Ellis, who got married this weekend.
Exactly. So, Corey, congrats to him. Also, Nate and Val, like I said. And then a few years ago, Paige and Grady Hsu got married. So, their wedding anniversary is, of course, here on the 25th. Congrats to them. And then another disc golfer who watches quite a bit as well, who's here in Wisconsin, and his brother is a famous comedian. But thank you to Rob Lee, or congratulations to Rob Lee and his wife, Becky, also celebrating an anniversary. So I'm just throwing some of those out there. I think there was his 8 as well. So nothing more than random.
In honor of all those people.
Happy anniversary to all of them.
We're going to give something away.
Let's do it. I think we got anniversary jerky, known as smashed cracked pepper.
There it is. There it is.
When
folks,
you want an anniversary, you want a smashed cracked pepper.
That's right.
That's a new tagline for Double G Jerky. Put it in your mouth.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work. Put it in your mouth.
Put it in your mouth.
Yeah. Not on your face.
Put it on your face.
No, jerky shouldn't go on your face. I mean,
put it in your mouth.
Yeah. Jerky in your mouth. Barbasol on your face.
Yes.
Anyway,
put it up here, right here. So get it.
Put in your jerky hole.
We're going to give, don't be a jerky.
Don't be
a jerky hole.
Don't be a jerky. All right. We have 160 people eligible for our giveaway. Patreon.com/SmashboxTV. If you get any value out of us, which I understand sometimes.
Does it have to be a positive net value?
No, it could be a negative value.
Yeah, you could be like, oh, I listen to those assholes on Smashbox. They don't know what they're talking about.
I need to send them money to shut them up. If you send us, you know, if you sign up at patreon.com/SmashboxTV for as like a little as a dollar a month, and you'll be eligible for a giveaway. Terry Miller, what number should we do? What number should
the
we
three.
Draw?
I just listed off three great anniversaries. There's others in the world, sure, probably today, maybe. But three of them crossed my Facebook.
It's not 91. It's not 140. The answer is 39. I'm going to bring up the spreadsheet here, but not live on the broadcast, so I don't dox anybody. 39 is, I sorted it by address. So 39 is Daniel Reynoso.
Yeah, sweet.
U-Disc Dan. U-Disc Dan is going to
get some jerky coming his way in Minnesota.
He's going to get Terry's jerky in his mouth.
Yes, he is, U-Disc Dan. We're going to have a shirt off. Wait.
No, you'll lose that. Don't, please don't.
No, he's got neat shirts.
I know, but don't take your shirts off.
No.
I think you lose that. He looks like he's relatively in shape.
He is.
So, you, yeah, please don't do that.
Okay.
But a shirt off, like a shirt competition.
Yes.
I still think he wins.
Smash crack pepper in his face.
Yeah, you should slap him with your jerky.
Yeah, jerky slaps. Anyway, U-Disc Dan, thank you for your support. We love you, buddy. You might be still watching right now.
You never know.
If not, you're watching.
He's watching tomorrow.
So we love you, buddy.
Congratulations, Dan.
send you some jerky. I know you want a pants off, dance off. Been there, done that too many times. Hmm.
That's another after show story.
That's why there's a table in front of me. So you guys. All right, guys. I think with that, no better time than a pants off, dance off, jerky in your mouth demand. We're going to kill it. This is it. We're done. Guys, thanks for joining. This is the after show, 426. Find it. Hope you enjoyed it. Found it on your podcast app. Give us 500 stars or as many as it'll let you give you. Do that on the apps. We appreciate that.
That we helps do like that.
More people find jerky in their face, which is what we know they want. And everybody, you do win every Tuesday.
Everybody wants jerky in their face.
We appreciate you guys. Honestly, all the super chatters, anyone that jumped on, all the subscribers, whether you listen on audio in an audio capacity or you're here on Tuesday nights. We really appreciate you guys. For Johnny V, I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. That's been podcast 426's after show. We'll see you next week when Terror Bear Solo you step inside the Smashbox.
Maybe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.